showroom. God is interested in the throne room. God is never found in the showroom. The only thing that is satisfied in the showroom is our flesh, is the mortal man. God is not fleshly. God is spirit. Please shout, God is spirit. Come on, let's try that again. God is spirit. So God is always found in the realm of the spirit. And I want to say something that I really do believe is going to happen. And I approve what I'm going to say now. We are living in a time where Paul said to Timothy that people will gather many teachers unto themselves, teachers that will scratch the itching ears. So people will seek public speakers. And we've got a lot of public speaking, but we do not have a lot of glory releasing. We need some glory releasing. Public speaking doesn't set us free. It makes us feel good for a minute, for a second, for a service. But then we go home and we feel the same. We are unsatisfied. This is why people don't grow. People go to church week after week to get a message to sustain them for a week. But we really need a message that will set us free and will sustain us for a lifetime. Am I speaking to somebody? I said, am I speaking to Faith City this day? This is why we need the true presence of God. So we're living in a time where God will clearly show us and separate the true from the false. The flesh from the spirit. You will see it. My God, you better hear me. We will see it. God will show the remnant. I would have called them the remnant. The remnant are people who thirst after the presence of God. I want to just get down here quickly, and I want to just speak to you very quickly. What does it help me to bring you a powerful message, but no presence? What does it help me to bring you a message of hope, but no presence? What does it help us to have a great church service, great worship, but there's no presence of the Holy Spirit? And I have decided long ago to go to places where the Holy Spirit is celebrated and not tolerated. And so many people go to churches and places and meetings where the Holy Spirit is only tolerated, but he's not celebrated. Because in today's time, many people think that they are hurt through the church. And people feel like they have been offended through the church. But I want to tell you about one person who has been the mostly hurt in the church, and that's the Holy Spirit. He has been hurt tremendously by the church, and nobody cares how he feels. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. And this is why we have to come to the conclusion, and this is why I want to hit this message for the first Sunday of the new year, that we will stop going to places where the Holy Spirit is only tolerated, but we will start getting to places, get to gatherings where the Holy Spirit is celebrated and not just tolerated. Many people get offended when you speak in tongues. That needs to fall away. I want to tell you something. The offense must fall away because tongues will never fall away. And I know you're going to quote the scripture, well, tongues is going to fall away, but love is going to stay. I say, as long as the earth remains, tongues will not fall away. So I think our pride, the way that we used to think, and I want to start off with Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. It says, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and in ear. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your forefathers did, you do also. Now, it's a scripture that everybody knows. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ear. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Yes, here's the scripture clearly that Luke states. He says, you resist the Holy Spirit. People resist the Spirit of God. Something that you resist is something you don't want. People resist him because they don't want him. So this is why he says you resist him. And he goes on, he says, you are stiff-necked, uncircumcised in your heart and your ear. You always reject the Holy Spirit as your forefathers did. This speaks about religion. You come from a background of religiosity. Your father has been to a certain church and they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And here comes Luke and he says, now you do the same thing. Church of God, when you want to see a new move of the Spirit of God, you have to break out of family traditions. You have to lay aside everything that you think you know, lay it aside and start afresh and say, Lord, I need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Come on, I need somebody that will say, Holy Spirit, oh Lord, dip me with the kerosene of thy Spirit. Set my spirit ablaze so that I can be on fire again. Hallelujah. Come on. Who wants to be on fire for God in this place? Dip me in the kerosene of thy spirit. Set my spirit ablaze that I might be on fire for you. Come on, we want to burn for Jesus. Come on, I want you to shout, I want to burn for Him. Come on, I want you to shout, I want to burn, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you believe it, give somebody a high five and say, we're going to burn for the Spirit of God. People don't understand how important the Holy Spirit is. I want to read you a scripture, a passage. And I want to teach you something. It's very important. And my God, I feel Him. Oh my goodness. It's just so lovely to know that these fingers, the tongue, your eyes, your ears, your head, your mind, your legs, your arms, everything belongs to Him. And when He moves, you move. Whatever He says, you say. Oh, come on. I just feel the glory of the Lord. Now, I want to read you this that I've written down. We need the Holy Spirit down inside of us. All right? We need the Holy Spirit down inside of us so that we can have an inner conversation that will withstand outer circumstances. We need an inner conversation that will withstand outer circumstances. This is why we need the Holy Spirit deep down in us. This is why He's the one that we need to commune and speak to. Now, we all know that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the scripture says that when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, heaven opened up. Please say with me, heaven opened up. Now, I want to teach you something. It's good asking God for open heavens because Isaiah speaks about open heaven. But many times we pray for things that God has already given. It's time that the church live under open heaven. It's time that we live. Listen, this is why we need to create an atmosphere and a culture in this church. I don't have to tell people, lift your hands and worship Him. Our culture must be, we are people of culture. We worship God. Nobody needs to tell me I need to worship Him. Come on, we need to live in open heavens. That nobody needs to tell me. Listen, the day must fall away that we have to pick up an offering. Our culture must be that I'm a giver. The righteous of God are people that loves to bless. Isn't that correct? Wouldn't it be an awesome culture that there's no time that you pick up offering and you just come and you give because that's your culture? Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. We ask God for things that's already done. We ask God to give us things and do things for us that Jesus already done for us more than 2,000 years ago. Who believed that? Now, open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, the first book of Mark. And in actual fact, I'm going to skip that one because the book of John says something else, and I want to read this one. All right, so we're going to go to the book of John. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is He whom I said after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for He was before me." And he goes on, he says, "I did not know Him, but that He should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." Please say, like a dove. Come on again. Like a dove. "And He remained upon Him." Mark says that when Jesus was baptized, the scripture says that as Jesus went into the waters, the heavens opened up and there was a voice speaking out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." And then the scripture says that in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit descended and sat upon His shoulder. And then John goes on, he says, "And the Spirit remained with Him." Please say, "remained with Him." Now, we know in the scriptures, the Bible says that God promises us that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Who believes that? So, the three ways that we all know that the Holy Spirit comes for the sake of new people, the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit that comes within us. He lives within us. Then He comes upon us for the work of the ministry. He will be with you and He will be within you. So He's with me to lead me, to guide me, within me, to sanctify me, to keep me holy. And in 1 Acts 1 verse 8 says, He comes upon you and then you'll receive power. But the Holy Spirit's presence on me only remain as long as I live in His purpose. The inner presence remains. But the presence that comes upon us leaves us when we do no longer live and walk according to His purpose. This is why it's so important to live out your purpose. Where God has placed you, you better be planted and rooted and blossom. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. Because if we live and walk outside of the will of God, the outer presence starts to fade away. The outer presence, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's only there as long as we walk and fulfill His perfect purpose. Am I speaking to you? Now, I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And this got me. I read it last night a couple of times. We all know the Holy Spirit is not a dove. We all know He's a person. We will get to that later on. It's not today. But the Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit came in the form of a dove, and He sat upon Him, and He remained. Can everybody see me? And He remained. Think about a dove in the natural. If a dove sits on my shoulder in the natural, how do I keep him there? How do I keep him there? I have to walk carefully. Because a dove is a shy animal. A dove goes like this. You just come close, gone. If we think about this in the natural, how do I keep a dove here? I have to walk carefully. Every step that I take, I have to consider the dove. I don't walk like this no more. No, there goes the dove. No, I nurture him. I take care of him. Every step I take, I keep the dove in mind. Who hears me in this place? This is why the Bible says we have been designed as a resting place for the Holy Spirit. This is why the tabernacle wasn't supposed to be pushed around. It was supposed to lay on people's shoulders. This is how they were supposed to carry the presence. Because God created us as a resting place. So now here's the Bible. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and He remained. The thing is not, it's so easy to give your heart to Jesus, believe in your heart, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The difficult part is to keep the dove, to nurture every step that I take. This is why many people don't feel that burning fire no more, because the dove is gone. They haven't nurtured the dove. The inner presence is still there. You're still a Christian, but the desire to serve God with everything has faded away. Come on, that kerosene that we were speaking about earlier has dried up. The oil is gone. There's no more oil. Come on, there's no longer a zeal. There's no longer a zeal. This is why people no longer pray. They no longer worship God like they ought to worship God, because the dove has not been taken care of. This is how it's easy to get him. This is why the Bible says that Jesus will come and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is a big and the fire and power. Many people have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but the fire has disappeared. Am I getting through to somebody this morning? How do I take care of this dove? Like I said, every move, this is why, if we walk out of the perfect will of God, the presence of God leaves our lives. This is why people that has been saved 20 years ago is not more on fire today, because they've not nurtured. They've not catered. I love what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit remained on Christ. Everything He did, He had the dove in mind. This is why Paul says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus loves the Spirit of God so much. Think about this. Before all of time, God created us and He made a plan for humanity to be saved. And He knew that Jesus even said, He says, it is to your advantage if I leave. If I don't leave, the precious Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, cannot come. He says, it's better for you if I go, because I am limited. But He will come and He will be unlimited. For He will be omnipotent, omniscient. He will be almighty. He will be all-knowing. This is why. Oh, come on, somebody. If Jesus had to touch seven billion people. It would have taken him more than 2 million years. This is why he said, it's better if I go, for when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reach all people. He will reach the lost and the dying. I'm sending the greatest evangelist to planet Earth. Oh, hallelujah. If you believe it, give him 10 seconds of crazy praise in his house. Hallelujah. Come on. It's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? So here comes the Holy Spirit. And I want to hear me. Jesus said, if you blaspheme against me, I'm going to forgive you. If you blaspheme against my Father, I'll forgive you. But he says the Holy Spirit is so precious that the minute you start to blaspheme against him, I will never forgive you until all eternity. Now, I want you to think like I think. Jesus came to die on a cross. He paid the price. The Holy Spirit did not die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. But Jesus said, blaspheme against me, I'll forgive you. But you blaspheme, you touch. Something opened up for me last night. As Isaiah says, in heaven the angels cry out, holy, holy. What you don't know, they ascribe worship unto him. When the angels say holy, we all know what they do. They see a new revelation about who God is. God, the Holy Spirit too. So Jesus says, I forgive you. But you touch him. You speak against him. I'll never forgive you until all eternity. Remember what I said, I think it was last week, Sunday, I said that Jesus says, woe to those people who kills the prophets and think that they do God a service. You know, listen, saints of God, when we ascribe the work of God to devils, we are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. If people fall over and you don't understand it because you grew up in a different church, don't speak against it. Because you will blaspheme against the Spirit. When demons are coming out and you speak against it, don't speak against it. You will blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens with blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? You dry up. You dry up. So there's no desire to repent. I'm going to say something free of charge. People that don't believe that we have to repent no more is one simple reason the Holy Spirit left. As long as the Holy Spirit remains, there's repentance. For the scripture says, he keeps us holy. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no holy living. Am I speaking to you right now? So people dry up. The minute we start to speak against the Spirit of God, we dry up. Our spiritual lives dry up. There's no more desire to pray, no more desire. This is why I say this radically, that if you're not closer to God today than you were yesterday, you are busy getting cold. You're busy backsliding. Every single day, there must be a new refilling. People ride on last week's anointing. You can never ride on last week's anointing. Every day needs a new touch from heaven. And I promise you this, you can hear messages about the Holy Spirit. Unless you have a touch from God Almighty, you will remain the same forever, and nothing will change you. You know, if you run to drugs and alcohol and prostitutes and pornography, this because there's an emptiness on the inside of you, and that emptiness can only be filled. There's a void that can be filled, and you need a touch. For who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Now, the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. But it's not third in the rank. Amen? Everybody sees it. I know you do the same. The Father's number one, Jesus number two, Holy Spirit number three. It's not the case. They are one. So where does the Holy Spirit rank? Number one. Where does the Father rank? Number one. Where does Jesus rank? Number one. And there's no greed, there's no jealousy between them, because there's no darkness in them. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, shout hallelujah. There's no darkness found in him. The Holy Spirit, the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit as the miracle worker. I'm going to teach you something today that knocked me off my feet. The Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit as the miracle worker. Jesus himself said that he cast out devils by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say, he said, I cast them out by the works of the Spirit. He said it when they blasphemed against him and says he cast out devils by the work of devils. He says, how can the kingdom of darkness stand if a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand? And then he goes on, he speaks about the Holy Spirit that casts out that demons. Now, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the disciples said, Lord, by faith in your name, this man has now been made whole. By faith in your name. This is how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is the miracle worker. He's the one that creates. He's the one that manifests. He's the manifestation of the Trinity here now. Who hears me? Wave at me if you're with me. So the minute I start to speak against cancer in the name of Jesus, because we all know that name is a covenant name. When we say in the name of Jesus, every single angel, every single demon, every fallen angel, all of heaven's host, every principality and power stands on attention, for the name which is above every other name has been mentioned. And then the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker, comes and he makes sure that the kingdom of darkness within that person disappears. When they crucified us on Facebook, you remember I said on that site, they said that we are healing people by magic, etc., etc. And they say with the same words, we heal people in the name of Jesus through the power of Satan. Satan's got no power. He's got no creation in him. I tell every, and I say this publicly, Satan has no power over the name of Jesus Christ. In actual fact, I want to say this, that the name Satan and the name Jesus does not come up in one sentence. Oh, come on, somebody. I've got a way maker and a miracle worker and a promise keeper, and his name is Jesus. No devil in hell can heal. Do you believe that? Come on, if you believe it, give him a shout like you've never shouted before. Let all of heaven hear you. His name is Jesus. By faith in his name. Meaning we understand what that name means. What Christ did for us. This is why when we cast out demon spirits, I love what the scripture says. The Bible says when they crucified Christ. Do you know Satan is so stupid? That the Bible says if they knew who they crucified, they thought they're going to stop him. The Bible says if they knew who they crucified, they would never crucify the Lord of hosts. He thought, well, I'm killing him. No, God says, I am bringing forth eternal life. I like that one. So the Bible says when Jesus was crucified, he made a public spectacle. Public spectacle. Do you know what? When they crucified people, they tried to make a spectacle of them. But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says when they lifted him up, he made a public spectacle of every devil, of all the bondage of Satan. This is when you walk through these doors in the name of Jesus, I declare you will walk out free. The power of darkness has no power over you in this house. Hallelujah. A public spectacle, disarming him of all powers. Ek like die Here het hom so hard op sy mond geslaan. Hy het gestaan in. Disarmed. They couldn't wait for Jesus to breathe out his last. But what Satan didn't knew was life is not in him. Life is in Christ. When he decided it is finished, he said it is finished. Oh, how many times did I teach you this? That not all the wounds, not all the blood, not all the pain killed him. He decided it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, if I go away, I'm going to send you a helper, somebody that will come and help you. And Jesus even said the following, he said that you do not know what I say now, but there will come a day that you will know all things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says that no one knows the deep things of God. He says no angel. nothing knows the deep things of God, the secrets of God's heart, except the Holy Spirit, who reveals it to the heirs of salvation. Reveals means he's a revelator. He reveals stuff. He brings revelation. Shout revelation. So Holy Spirit is the one who brings constant revelation. When he descended on Christ, I believe this, and we all can read this in the scriptures. There's only one instance where the Bible speaks about him as a dove. We all know that. But in this instance, I believe that the Lord was speaking to the church and teaching the church how to take care, how to nurture. What you don't know, the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit. He's got his own will. He's got his own personality. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is spirit? Who knows that? But did you know that he has a soul? The Bible says it. He has a soul. God the Father has a soul. The Bible says it. Jesus has a soul. This is what Scripture says. So, in other words, the soul is the intellect. It's the thing that can get hurt. It's the emotions. It's the feeling. So the Holy Spirit can get hurt. This is why the book of John teaches us when the Holy Spirit remained on him, when the Spirit remained, Jesus did something. Now, just hear me, and I say this with all due respect, the Holy Spirit is not a dove, he's a person. But think about the picture that I'm picturing you now. If you don't nurture a dove, he's going to die. Any animal that you don't nurture will die. Jesus is teaching us, when he comes on you, your walk starts to change. Because now every single step I take, I keep him in mind. With this, I can do what I want. But with this, it's different. Because now my whole mindset starts to change. Now it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Now the life I live unto the glory of God. Now I nurture. Because I don't want to hurt this friend. I mean, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to grieve him. Paul says, do not grieve and do not quench the Holy Spirit. People quench him every day. Your walk needs to change. This is why many people don't have the fire no more, because the dove is no longer there. They do not cater and they do not nurture the Holy Spirit that's upon him. He will only remain when we nourish his presence. He only remains as long as we take every single step and have him in mind. When you wake up in the morning, he must be on your mind. Every step, come on. How do you walk from now on? With him on your mind. Carefully observing, protecting. But people don't understand. The Holy Spirit is a protector. But we have a mandate to protect him. And when we nurture him, hallelujah, my God, yes, Holy Spirit. The Bible says Peter, his shadow fell on people and they were healed. The woman with the issue of blood came pushing through the crowds and she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Paul sent out aprons, handkerchiefs, and whoever touched it were healed. Let me tell you something. Your shadow can only release what overshadows you. I ask a question, how can a shadow heal people? My shadow can only release what overshadows me. This is why Peter had the revelation in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and be healed. Because you can only release what overshadows you. Am I in the right church right now? My God, I feel him. I feel the Spirit of God. I say this publicly, this is his church. In this church, we will never tolerate him. Never. We will celebrate the Holy Spirit. In this church, we will speak in tongues. We will lay hands on the sick. We will prophesy. We will walk in all of the gifts. And we will walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Church without the Holy Spirit is a social club. The more cake, the less of the Holy Spirit we have, the more cake and tea we need to entertain the people. We need the Holy Spirit again. We need to nurture the Spirit of God. When you start to nurture him, do you know what? Then you do not live a foolish and a selfish life. Because now you have in mind, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. Am I speaking to somebody? I don't want to hurt him. You hurt him by the words you speak. You hurt him for your actions. Do you know the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit that was there from the beginning of creation? And the scripture speaks about him and it goes on. And it says that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Omnipotent. The scripture says he's all powerful. Omniscient. All knowing. Omnipresent. Always, everywhere present. The psalmist said, there's nowhere I can go that your spirit does not see me. He says, everywhere. If I go on a high mountain, you're there. If I go down in the lowest valley, even if I found myself in a deepest pit, you are still there. Because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. I thank God, my God is not a statue that is back somewhere. My God is in South Africa. He's the God of America. He's the God of China and Japan. And the day now will come that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have been designed as a resting place. That's our first mandate as children of God. This is why where you walk, atmosphere shifts. Do you hear me? This is why you... The day is here. We will walk past people and your very shadow shall heal them. Where people touch your clothes and they were healed. This is why they could touch the hem of the garment of Christ. You were so overshadowed by the Spirit that remained with him. How do we nurture this Holy Spirit? How do we take care of him? You know, I like this, what the Bible says. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard against him. In the book of the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew language doesn't have a comma. So the comma was placed on the wrong place. The original translation says that when the enemy comes, come on, like a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard against them. Satan doesn't come like a flood. The Holy Spirit does. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as like what? A mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and on each of them sat a flame of fire, and they started speaking in other tongues, and the people outside, they disqualified them and they thought these guys are drunk. And Peter rose up and he says, this is that which the prophet Joel has prophesied, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And they went out and they turned the world upside down. They were turning cities upside down. They were threatening people. Wherever they walked, people were threatened. Suddenly people feared their presence. Because no man can remain the same once the Holy Spirit starts to grip his heart. No man's speech remains the same when the Holy Ghost comes upon him. You will receive power. You will receive power. You will see breakthrough. You will see change when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. This is why when we worship God, and it's not in spirit and in truth, the Holy Spirit doesn't make our worship acceptable. Worship, scripture says, is ascribed to him. He's the one that makes your worship acceptable. Do you know what's so powerful? I'm not going to get into too much of that now. This is for the next time. But the Bible says we do not know how to pray. This is why the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I believe that the right translation means this. When I pray and I don't have words, suddenly it's just tears. I can't put what I feel in words. Then the Holy Spirit takes that vocabulary and he lays it at the feet of the Father. And he intercedes. This is why he's a helper. I can't speak. Please speak for me. And he takes your heart, what he sees on your heart. And this is why everything we do, it's a heart condition. When your heart is filthy, the Holy Spirit leaves. When your heart is pure, this is what I always teach people. When you look at my life, if you want to find out if I'm a sinner, if I'm false, don't look at my gifts. Look at the presence of God. The presence speaks volumes. Presence leaves when sin enters. the gifts remain. My God, you're going to feel in the next 5 minutes, a shift will come across this place. Who believes that? I say, who believes that? Who's expectant that God is going to do something in this place today? It's time when we are set free of our religiosity. It's time when we are set free of our mindsets. And say, Holy Spirit, I need to cater for you. Now every step I take, it's careful. Don't go anywhere because people tell you that's what they believe God wants you to do. You'll lose the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. I would rather lose all my friends, all my family, than lose the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. They will call you crazy and nuts, that's fine. They spoke about Jesus the same way. But this month, we're going to give Him adoration. For no man does that no more. Everybody forgets the Holy Spirit. And when I speak about the Holy Spirit, Jesus is glorified. This is what you don't get about the Holy Spirit. The more bigger I make the Holy Spirit, the more Jesus is glorified. For the Holy Spirit says, when I come, I'm not here to speak about myself. I'm just here to speak about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when we glorify the Holy Spirit, Christ is glorified. For the Holy Spirit always directs the presence and the power and the glory and the worship back to Jesus. This is why when Jesus walked on earth, He never introduced Himself as Prophet Jesus. That's deep. He never introduced Himself as a king. He never said, I'm a prophet, I'm an evangelist. He never did. When the Spirit comes on you, you need no validation. This is why they cried out, thou son of David. This is why they said, this is the king of the Jews. Come on, this is why they said, they call you a prophet, some call you a teacher, because they suddenly start to call you what they see on you. For the Holy Spirit brings to the forefront what's on the inside of you. He makes the office a reality. You don't have to walk. Many times when people come, I'm a prophet, he's not a prophet. When a guy says, I'm Apostle Pete so-and-so, he's not an apostle. When a guy comes to you, he doesn't have to say. When the Spirit of God rests upon him, jy kan my Piet noem. Noem my Koos as jy wil. Noem my Ger, net wat jy wil. When you see the presence, you will know. And when people are exposed to the presence, do you know what happens? When they are introduced to something that's not of God, something that's of the flesh, they know it immediately. The Bible says, the spiritual people look at things spiritually. They evaluate and judge things spiritually. The people that's flesh, carnal Christians, doesn't know the difference. But we spiritual people, we know the difference. Today my question is, how do you nurture the dove? How's your Christian walk? How many of us think that the Holy Spirit has remained? But He's gone. You have the inner presence because He promised, I'll never leave you. But the abiding on us is gone. You will see a person that's abiding. You will see a person that's abiding in God. Do you know what I love? When you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, He goes where you go and you go where He goes. So there's never a place, as long as I'm in His will, that I can go where He leaves me. This is why we do not fight darkness. We simply switch on the light. Why do we fight darkness? Darkness is defeated. It's under our feet. We put such an emphasis on Satan's voice. Satan spoke to me. Satan said this and that. It's time that the Christians hear the voice of the Spirit. Spirit descended on His shoulder to speak. Did you get that? Why do you hear Satan if this is the Holy Spirit's place? You know, when we were children, I heard it a lot of times. Sê die duivel kyk al op jou skouers. Wie weet waarvan ek praat? Is die duiweltjie weer op jou skouers? Ek dink daai mense weet hoe akuraat hulle was. Because this is a resting place for the Holy Spirit. Not Satan, not his presence. I want you to listen to me. When the Holy Spirit comes, he must remain. Moet die gees nie uitblus nie. I prayed for people, the first thing they said, I don't want to fall. No, trust me, not going to fall. The Holy Spirit knows you don't want to touch. He will never do something you don't want him to do. Before you said, I don't want to fall, he already moved on to the next. Remember, it's not about the falling, it's about the touch. It's about the touch. Whether you stand on your feet, when you're on the ground, it doesn't matter. In actual fact, I want to say, it doesn't help you falling over and not changed. You have to change. This is why we fall over. Somebody said to me one day, when you fall, you have to fall front. If you fall backwards, you fall away from God. Bull twang. Jy kan uit jou bank uit val links, rechts, onderste, bo, achterste, voor. Who cares? As long as the Master has touched you, as long as he has placed his hand upon your life and has shaken you to your core, that's what matters. You'll never preach with power unless there's a touch. You'll never heal like Jesus heals unless there's a touch. You'll never have the compassion for God's people unless there's a touch. That touch changes everything. And then you come to a place where you don't care what people's opinions are about you. You are worried about one thing. How I nurture. How I take care. How I tend to Him and His presence. Oh my God, I love you, Spirit of God. You're so welcome. Would you quickly lift your hands? Oh. Reveal yourself to these people in the name of Jesus. He's here. Everything is different. Every hand lifted. Every person to their feet, please. He's here, the King of Glory. The bus. The kerosene of my spirit. Set us ablaze that we might burn again. How may you speak to him as you do? In unity. I've never seen God move in disunity. God always moves in unity. As we stand in unity, in one accord. This morning, everything that comes against you, the Holy Spirit will flatten. Every wall that kept you enclosed will be broken. Every chain shall fall in defeat. There's people in this place. You never had a touch from the Holy Spirit. As Acts 19 says, have you received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands? We have never heard as much of the Holy Spirit. There's people here that don't even know the Spirit of God. He's a real person with real feelings. And when we live a life of disobedience, he leaves. How do you take care? How do you nurture the dove? Are you a resting place for his presence? Come on, lift those hands, he's here.